All right, pay attention to the sermon, so everyone always does. What do you do during the sermon? Let's see. How many of you pay attention? How many of you go through your shopping list for the week? Come on, be honest, yeah. How many of you think about anything you could be doing besides being in church right now or wondering how long it will be going? All of the above, anything but listening? Yeah, okay. In today's Bible reading, there's something to pay attention to because just two verses long, really short, and Janice says, oh, thank you for having a short Bible reading today without any of the long words and everything. But it has one word that's written six times, and it's not just six times. There's actually like another occurrence that doesn't say the word, but the word is welcome. And I think that the repetition means pay attention to this, even if you're thinking about your grocery shopping or something else. It's like a flashing red light. Stop here. Pay attention, right? Flashing yellow light. That's more pay attention, isn't it? I think, yeah. Driving, right? That's what we do. Yellow light means pay attention. Be careful. This reading, it comes at the end of a much longer kind of sermon that it's about treating how people treat missionaries and prophets when they visit to preach. And the long instructions about visiting preachers has to do probably with the poor treatment that many had received in the past in Jesus' time. When they would come in, the people would just treat the preachers awfully. So I think that the overabundance of the word welcome at the end of that expresses a message about visiting preachers, but it also expresses a message beyond how folks treat visiting preachers. And I know it was important. Jesus was giving instructions, absolutely, to welcome visiting missionaries and prophets and preachers, and it was important then, and it's important now. Anytime that we have a visiting missionary or a visiting preacher, it's important for us to show up. It's important for us to be here and to welcome and to say, your presence here is valuable to us. But we have to remember that in addition to visiting preachers, welcome is essential in all of Jesus' teachings. It's not just about the visiting preachers or the visiting teachers or the missionaries. Jesus is about welcoming the stranger. Welcome the poor. Welcome the outcast. Welcome the immigrant. Welcome the powerless. Welcome the tired. Welcome the lost. Welcome the children. They're all so present in Jesus' teaching. So Jesus' teaching is welcome everyone. And there's a power that is associated with the word welcome that I wish wasn't present, but it's important to address it. Welcome, in one, can be like, look, we have this wonderful club and you are welcome to be here. Here are the rules of the club if you want to stay. Welcome can't have that connotation for it to be the kind of welcome that Jesus talks about. The kind of welcome that is present here is welcome, your presence makes the whole better. Welcome, we are all together now. And then let me talk out of both sides of my mouth for a minute, because I've done this before. Welcome is a powerful word if you use it incorrectly, I guess, or use it in a way that some people want. Welcome, here's our club, here's the rules. But then welcome, we pay attention to one another. Everybody is part of the whole. But what about people who don't agree? We have that. We have disagreements. And then I say something that I think is, this is the way it should be. And I know I have the power of the pulpit, and everybody has to listen at that point. And if they want to speak out, it's really hard to speak out during the sermon because the sermon isn't a discussion. The little ground rule that I have on that is welcome is a powerful word in the way that it makes the whole better. And if someone's idea is, I don't want to welcome a certain group of people for some reason, that makes the whole welcome difficult. And that's where I talk out of both sides of my mouth. That kind of attitude, presence, that kind of thinking is not welcome. It's hard to say that. But my friend who used to be the pastor at Hope UCC in Naperville, before Timoth, before Greg, who's there now as an interim, his name is Tim. And Tim's preached here before a couple of times. Tim had this motto for Hope UCC. It says, "We welcome anyone who welcomes anyone." That put a little caveat on there. It didn't say we welcome everyone because they didn't want to get involved in something that's called, what's the new term for it? Not new term, but steeplejacking. And I don't mean steeplejacking. Like I was just in Greensburg, Indiana. Anyone ever heard of Greensburg, Indiana? It's a wonderful little town in southern Indiana. And since 1870, the town hall, or the city hall, has had a tower with a tree growing out of it. Really a tree growing out of it. At one point, the tree grew to 15 feet above the tower, and then the tree died. But they had hired, in 1882, a steeplejack, one who comes up and fixes steeples, and they had trimmed the tree and noticed that there were more than one tree growing, so that when the big tree died, they took the big tree out and another one took its place. And over the years, several trees have died and more have taken their place, and there is a wonderful tree still growing from 1870 till now. I took pictures of it. I actually went to Indiana, and I didn't take the same route that I normally take to go through Greensburg to get to where I was going in Batesville. Anyone here of Batesville? Versailles, Osgood, I was in all of those towns. Napoleon, anyway, I was in all of those places, and I drove from Batesville all the way to Greensburg just to see the tower tree and take a picture because I remembered it from my childhood. So steeplejacks, in that case, fix steeples. Steeplejacking, in a church sense, and as I'm talking, is about a person or a group of people who disagree with a whole bunch of things. Usually it's on a liberal to conservative issue, and they come in and they want to change the nature of the church and make it more conservative and get rid of things like pride. This is Pride Sunday, by the way. Did you know that? Pride Sunday. So they want to get rid of LGBT rights or something like that. And so they do that. And so steeplejacking is a difficult thing. And people who are on the side of the conservative side say, we're only doing the right thing. We're only trying to do the thing that makes the church better. And it usually causes hardship, and I know it's not an easy thing, and it's complicated, and it's hard, but welcome is so important. And if our idea is to unwelcome anyone, then we're not being welcoming. So I don't know if our motto can be that, but let's chew on that for a while, for weeks and months. We welcome anyone who welcomes anyone. And I think that the welcome, it has to go beyond our passing of the peace and our coffee hour on Sundays where we have it or don't have it, right? Welcome is about inviting folks to be part of the community. It's about caring enough to have a longer conversation with someone. It's about getting together for coffee outside of coffee hour or helping cut someone's lawn. Or signing up to be a lawn cutter, right? Okay, little commercial there for the welcome is about giving and receiving blessings. Welcome is about a transition from feeling like an outsider to feeling like part of the family. And in our Christian family, we're always welcoming. We never do anything that would ever make anyone feel unwelcome, right? A couple of months ago, the lead singer of the band Jars of Clay, heard of Jars of Clay? In the 90s, they had a hit called Flood. It was on regular radio, and they still are touring, still making records, still making a living as musicians. But the lead singer of Jars of Clay, Dan Hazeltine, tweeted, took his phone, tweeted on Twitter, and he tweeted a message to his 19,000 Twitter followers, and it questioned the typical conservative Christian position on same-sex marriage. Here's what he said. "Not meaning to stir things up, but is there a non-speculative or non-slippery slope reason why gays shouldn't marry? I don't hear one." Then he said, "I'm trying to make sense of the conservative argument, but it doesn't hold up to basic scrutiny. feels akin to women's suffrage. And then he said, I just don't see a negative effect to allowing gay marriage. No societal breakdown, no war on traditional marriage. Anyone? And then the response. It's a backlash. It was almost immediate. The conversation on Twitter continued, and the religious right decided to demonize Mr. Hazeltine, banned Jars of Clay music from the radio stations, and basically decided to shun the whole band, canceled concert after concert after concert. How nice. A few years ago, I co-directed a volunteer work camp at Tower Hill Camp and Conference Center in Sawyer, Michigan, where I think that we spend some time occasionally, especially for the women's retreats. Part of the week included devotions based on a Jars of Clay song. The Jars of Clay song is called Small Rebellions. Each day we thought about and we talked about and we tried to live out something from the song. And I want to go through bits and pieces of this song from a man who had the audacity to ask a question about same-sex marriage and then got all kinds of backlash, but who is still deciding to be a welcoming presence in Christianity and still deciding to be a presence of love and hope. Small Rebellions. Small Rebellions is a go against the flow idea, but it's more than that. Small Rebellions for good. Like in our case, it was going to camp to work instead of play. Small rebellions like seeing ways to make a difference, like finding ways to offer welcome when turning away seems easier. It's like in our call to worship, in our prayer of confession. Another line from the song was, we are hearts and arms that reach, like reaching out to one another in love instead of finding ways to fight and to argue. And then another one was, hearts in every form still matter. Remembering that God loves everyone, no exceptions. Steeplejacks or not, God loves everyone, no exceptions. Push against the current was another line in the song. And it's similar to the Small Rebellions theme. But at camp, we talked about issues that we're willing to stand up for. Things we're willing to go on a limb for. Ideas that we're willing to step way out of our comfort zone for. And I think we all have those kinds of things. Stuff that they're line in the sand ideas like, I'm not willing to compromise on these particular ideas of justice and things like that. And there's my favorite line in the song talks about senseless, brutal acts of kindness. And this one brought up the most discussion in the group at camp. I mean, I think it hit home the most. The word senseless and brutal seem completely at odds with acts of kindness. And because we always see them connected with violence and hate, they are. But senseless, brutal acts of kindness are acts of kindness that go beyond a smile or opening a door, doing anything little like that for someone. It's doing kindness that goes way beyond simple. It's doing kindness that invites someone to be part of the community. Then the last line in the song, or close to it, we will never walk alone again. At camp a few years ago, we began the week as strangers. Some folks knew each other, but as a group, we were all strangers. And in just a few short days, working together, we became a community. We worked hard. We played hard. We grew closer to God and to one another. We experienced God's unconditional loves as we built relationships together. Every person at camp that 3 years ago, they needed to sense God's unconditional love. Every person here at church needs to sense God's unconditional love. Every person here or anywhere gets to love whom they love. Every person here or anywhere is someone for whom God cares and someone whom God has blessed. Every person has a gift to share. Every person matters. And Jesus calls us to invite. Jesus calls us to show up. Jesus calls us to be generous. Jesus calls us to love. And of course, Jesus calls us to welcome. Amen.